Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And let me get your attention here on the screen. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off position, please, or silent. Amen. And let me go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus Still Heals Today. Amen. Jesus still heals today. How many believe that? Amen. How many believe that he still heals today? Can I get an amen? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Amen. So let's go to the Word of God in Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 4. And it reads, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Did you catch that? "And you shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fed calves." Amen. Verse 3. "You shall trample the wicked." What? "For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and with judgments." Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, sickness didn't come until the fall of man. I hope you know that. Did you know when Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, it was to be an eternal place of bliss? And then old Slewfoot came in. And he deceived first the lady and then the man. You got to blame him too. He bit that same apple too. Can I get amen? We all think, well, the blame game. Well, you gave her to me. Yeah, to cover her and watch over her. Can I get amen? What's she doing over there by that tree all by herself? Hello? Can I get amen in that? Amen. So, saints of God, therefore, sickness and disease is a result of sin and an onslaught of satanic wicked spirits. What? Oh, yes. I got some scripture to back that up. Can I get amen? And so, it also says that if God's people will turn from their wicked ways, he will take sickness from their midst. All right. So, let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at this. The source of sickness and disease. We have to look at this. We got to look at the source. Listen, how many of you love your doctors that try to find the root cause and not just give you a Band-Aid over your sickness? Here, take these pills. Take these pills. Okay, that just covers the sickness. But what's the root cause? There's a root cause to every sickness and ailment. So let's go to the Word of God. We're going to cover a lot of scripture this morning. So let's go there. Let's look at Romans. Romans 5, 12 through 16, and the Word of God reads, "Therefore, just as one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin." Okay, so there's no one that's excluded amongst the humanity, the human race, right? Okay, so now, in verse 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now, look at verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if it by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So what does that say? That means the one man that failed the test was Adam. So a second Adam had to come. And who was that second Adam? Jesus. He had to come and set us free. Can I get amen? Amen. But there were many warnings in the Old Testament regarding things that God said refrain from. For in the day that you do these things, you shall die. And God's clear. Let me just say this. Nothing has changed in thousands of years. 6,000 years ago when the Bible says man was created. Now, let me ask this. If a person drank a quart of whiskey every night, a quart, don't you think that his liver will be shattered within a couple of years, right? Right? It would. So there were things in the Old Testament that God said refrain from because these things were dangerous to you, and you will inflict your own selves with these things. There's some things that we should say no to. Can I get amen? There's some things that it's just common sense. You don't have to be a Bible scholar, as my analogy of drinking a quart of whiskey every night. Something will fail eventually and you will collapse. Let's look what Deuteronomy 7:12 reads. Let's go back here to the word. Look at this. In 12 through 16. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you with the covenant and mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and of the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. Look at verse 14. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all the what? Sicknesses, and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. And you shall destroy all the peoples whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. My goodness, my goodness. So, there were precepts, there were ordinances, there were things in the Old Testament that God said refrain from. He says, I will bless you if you honor the Lord. So God is saying, how many believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The Bible says that God changes not. So if God changes not, God is saying, continue to honor me even in our present day. Can I get amen? And when you honor God, God will send blessings upon your life, and you won't be able to contain them. I'm a testament to that. Ask Sister Yolanda, the day we got married, we've been married now for 25 years, everything, because we've honored God, he has blessed our hands of our work. And it's nothing that we can boast about. It's all about the grace of God, the mercy of God, having the favor of God, walking in the will of God. You see, when you walk in the center of God's will, it's his responsibility. It's his nature. It's within him that pours out the blessing, because he's righteous and he's just. And so let's look at this for a moment right up here. Sickness can also be a result of cursing ourselves. Oh, yes. Did you know that you can curse yourself? Listen, remember we talked about it. I'm going to just hit it briefly. Last week we talked about Job, and he lost all his wealth. His children were destroyed by tornadoes and natural disasters that God allowed. And the devil was at work, right? And then boils came on him. And man, he looked so hideous. And then his wife turned to him after everything had they had gathered everything that they have earned in life. They were the Bill Gates of the day. She said, curse God and die. Now, she wasn't mocking God. She loved God too. But why did she say curse God and die? Because the only way to be destroyed by God was to curse God. And she wanted him not to suffer no more. Did you catch that? That's why she said curse God and die. Because she was asking God's mercy to put him out of his misery. She didn't do it in a facetious way. She didn't do it in a spiteful way. She had nothing to turn to for his relief. And he was dying. And she goes, the way you can die is if you curse God, he'll put you out of your misery. Let's look at the word of God here in Deuteronomy. Look at this. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. What? This is what happens to a child that's disobedient to God. I just said Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? Nothing changes. The laws are still in effect. We are right now in a period of grace for the Gentiles to be saved. But the law of God is still intact. Nothing has changed. Well, all Jesus did is he crossed over the law to save us from our sin. Because we could not save ourselves, and the law could not save us. The law condemned us. It pointed out our transgressions. So, did you know that generational curses throughout generations are evident when diseases such as cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, etc., run down from a family tree? We got to look at this. Oh, show me that. Right here, it's in Exodus. Look at this. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, what? Idols. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God. Uh-oh. What do you mean jealous? Yes. He loves us so much that if we turn to other gods, he's a jealous God. He goes, why are you turning to that God who cannot bless you, who cannot support you, who cannot rain down blessings, who cannot heal you? Who have no voice and no eyes and no ears, and they're just a bunch of statutes. Look at this. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. What? And of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. What? See, whenever God points out certain judgments, right behind that, he shows us great mercy. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't allow us to be destroyed in the world? How many of you have testimonies that thank God that God saved me? I like to say it like this, man, thank God he saved my bacon. Huh? Oh, that's right. You know the testimony. We all have a certain testimony. But this is what we have to be mindful about. Because if we are rebellious, in other words, we live a life of duplicity. In other words, praise the Lord, everybody, on Sunday. And then during the week, we still kind of live like the devil. Then what we're going to allow to happen to us, and we have to look at this, because Jesus talks about this throughout the New Testament, is spirits of infirmity. Spirits of infirmity. These are wicked darts that are shot by Satan to disable you. So that you would be rendered useless for the kingdom of God. Listen, if you're all down and out, man, you know, and just disabled, guess what? God, how can God use you in the kingdom of God? Can I get amen? But we have to look why these spirits of infirmity are here. So let's go to Luke 13:10. Let's go there right now. Look at this. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. This is Jesus. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Did you catch that? 18 years, and was bent over and could in no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." All God had to do was what? Speak the word. Speak the word. Now, look at this in verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. This is a key to the ministry of healing, is the laying of hands. Can I get amen? This is why we're going to be laying on hands this morning. Can I get amen? We're going to have to, listen, just do what the book says to do. It's a blueprint. It's already there. It's not new under the sun. Can I get amen? Look what it said. He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh, but here comes the religious folks. There's always going to be religious folks. Yeah, right, you're healed. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was furious. Why? Because she went through, in other verses of scripture, she went through many doctors and she couldn't be healed. But God just spoke a word. Look at this. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Uh-oh. So now, because Jesus chose a Sabbath day, which was the seventh day, to heal this woman, that ruler was so upset that he healed on that day. And yet for how many years? 18 years? She struggled with this infirmity, and all of a sudden, she was what? Blessed and healed, and he got mad. You know, there's some folks say, yeah, you got healed, right? Well, what church healed you? And who was the residing bishop of that church? Well, they didn't get healed in my church. See, religion gets in the way, doesn't it? God is everywhere. He fills all space. If he wants to heal you at a park, he will. If he wants to heal you in the living room, he will. Can I get amen? All you got to do is cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. This woman, she had nowhere else to turn, and yet Jesus was right there on the scene. Did you know that Jesus intervened on your behalf? Because we was all headed to hell in a handbasket. I hope you know that. Oh, come on. Yes, we were. You know, churches don't want to talk about hell no more. Listen, I talk about hell. We'll scare them all. They won't come back. Well, it's okay. So the next one you go visit, they're going to talk about hell that day. And look at this. He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jews had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord, look at this, in verse 15. Then the Lord answered him and said, you know what? We all, throughout scripture, and you know, you hear this all the time. Oh, God's love, God's grace, God's merciful. But guess what? He had a problem with religious folks. Look what he called this man, hypocrite. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. He said, "You hypocrite." What? You know why? You know what I love about Jesus? He's a man's man. You know, he'll tell it like it is. He'll be straight up about it. You know, he's not going to coddle. Oh, that's okay. God knows. He called that religious leader what? Hypocrite? Does not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, Think of it. 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So this woman was afflicted by the devil. And he came and spoke a word, and that spirit of infirmity lifted, and she was free. The blood dried up, everything. She was glorifying God, and these religious folks got mad. My goodness. Look at verse 17. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to what? Shame. Hallelujah. Come on. Jesus put them to shame, right? And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? That Jesus will go to battle for you and for you and for you. Can I get an amen? You see, the devil has only one agenda, and that's to take you out, to render you useless, so that you will not be effective in the kingdom of God. But I'm here to let you know that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. God will put a shield and buckler around us. Can I get amen? God is for us, not against us. God will lift up a banner. Hallelujah. God will encamp angels around your home. God will speak to those things as they were not, and then they would be so. Can I get amen? We cannot do nothing in the natural, but God will put his super on our natural. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And God will do the miraculous in the midst of his people. Oh, thank you, God. You see, Jesus rebuked the spirits of infirmity with authority and power. My question to you, is there any power in you? Or is the power in the bottle of pills that are in the cabinet? Huh? Let's go to the Word of God. Let's look at this in Matthew 8:16. Look at this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon what? Possessed. There's folks today, there's churches that believe there are no demons that live here today no more. Listen, you and I cannot destroy a demon. We can chase them away, but we can't destroy them. They're all going to be cast with old Slewfoot in the lake of fire when Jesus comes and sets up the millennium reign. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were what? Sick. This is what these demons do. They make you sick. That's the word. Argue with the word, not with me. I'm just a messenger. I'm the mailman delivering the mail today. Can I get amen? Don't argue with me. Argue with God's word. Take it up with God. Can I get amen? Look at this. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Can I get amen? Praise God. Look at what it says in Matthew 12:22. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he what? He healed them. Wow. So that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Huh? Could it be the son of David? Look at this in verse 24. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, hey, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub. Okay, now they're saying that Jesus was demon-filled. Let me just say this. The devil won't go against his cohorts. Can I get amen? He won't. Why? Because then his kingdom will be divided, right? So he's on the side of wickedness. Satan's on the side of wickedness. He always will be. That is his MO. That's who he is. He fell from grace, from heaven. Now look at this. This fellow does not cast out demons, he said, by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts. Aren't you so blessed? God knows the heart of man. You know, we can get caught dead on with a lie and thought we concealed it, and God sees our heart. He knows when to pull that sheet that's over us and expose us. Oh, yes, he does. Look at this. But Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and every city or house divided against itself will not what? Stand. And then he goes on clear. He brought more clarity. Look at this. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. Didn't I just say that? How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Wow. See, what I love about Jesus, he would put people in checkmate. You couldn't box Jesus in. Jesus knew exactly how to maneuver against these wicked men and women of that day and today. And look at this. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen, when we get healed, the kingdom of God has come upon us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? That's right. It comes upon us. Look at verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless the first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? You see, this is what God does. He goes in to that vessel and he binds the strong man, and then he kicks him out. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed? See, you can't defund Jesus. You know all about defunding the police, right? You can't defund the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope you know that. Look at this. It says in verse 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. What? Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You know, some people have asked, well, what does that mean, Pastor? Don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Listen, people curse God all day long, and yet there's grace and mercy, right? You'll be in a party, you'll be in a gathering, you'll be around people that don't know God. Bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out. You know, that's blasphemy. I hope you know that. Okay, but why does God still allow grace and mercy on that? So the sin that will never be pardoned, the one thing that will blaspheme the Holy Spirit, is when a person dies without Jesus. In other words, they have rejected all their life and they go into hell now, rejecting God, that they blaspheme God, but not receiving the grace of the Holy Spirit. You could swear out of your mouth and say all kinds of, and God will still forgive you on that. But it's when you don't have breath no more. Now you're in trouble. Now there's no one to defend you no more, because God will not defend you there in hell. It's done. It's over with. Curtain call. Case closed. Grace has gone away. So there's people that can live up to 90 years old and still have an opportunity to give their heart to Christ. Can I get amen? With their last breath, Jesus, help, forgive me, God. I've just sinned all my life. God forgives right there. It's when they end it all. Wow. Let's finish up this. Look at this in verse 32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, look at this, it will be forgiven him. I just said that, right? So you could chop him up with your mouth. Go ahead. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Can I get an amen? See, Pastor Fee wasn't just talking out the side of his neck. This is the word. Can I get an amen? God said it. So when that person's life is over, that's when you're in trouble. So this is why, while you're here on earth, you better get fire insurance. Can I get an amen? Allstate and Farmers cannot help you. Only the Son of God. And so, saints, this type of deliverance is more common than most Christians would care to admit. Can I get an amen? Roughly half of all the healings Jesus did in the book of Matthew were actually deliverances from evil spirits. Many people today need spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical healing from Jesus. Oh, that's right. I'll tell you what hurts the most, and I've seen this in 31 years of being a Christian, is when relationships go awry. When a loved one walks out, there's deep hurt. There's emotional, spiritual, physical. There's a hurt there. Why? Because would you have ever thought being betrayed? It's betrayal, isn't it? And that's one thing that's so hard to get past. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus, hallelujah, who has forgiven every wicked sin on the cross, will forgive us, will cleanse us, will wash us, will heal us. Can I get amen? Amen. Why? Because he's a deliverer. He's the one that came to save us and to set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. How many of you have that story when you came to the Lord? You were so down and out. Okay, just me. You all were doing good. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be pastoring today. I know that for a fact. I probably would have already checked out of this world and went to a horrendous place. And so, saints, like I said, this type of deliverance, God had to deal with wicked spirits. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Our healing was paid in full. Our healing was paid in full. Saints, Jesus paid the highest cost that we could be healed and be set free 2,000 years ago on a cross. Look what it says in the book of Isaiah, right here. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Can I get amen? But see, you know what? A lot of times we don't want to receive that. Why? Because it looks too easy. Well, there's nothing complicated with God. All you got to do is come to him by faith and believe and receive that he took on your sicknesses. He took on your grief on the cross. And all you have to do is receive him by faith and say, oh God, save a sinner like me. But the world is too prideful. The world will not humble themselves and admit their guilt and admit their fault. And they will fight with God all the days of their life until something miraculously has to take place where God will quicken them and give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Pray for those that you know that are not walking with God. Because when Jesus comes again, it's going to be case closed. You know, a trial can last for several years. Big trials can last for 2-3 years. And then finally there becomes a verdict. And then the case is closed. Well, right now the world is in a trial. The world right now is in a trial with God. And God is allowing many to come into the saving knowledge by his grace and by faith. It's freely given to us. I have 11 brothers and sisters. There's only 3 of us that are walking with God. And I cry out for them. I said, God, give them an opportunity. And yet I know their lifestyle. They're living for the world. They're building their wealth here that's going to be taken away as soon as God speaks the word. Look at this right here in 1 Peter. Look at this. For to this you were called, that's the church, us, you and I, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Can I get amen? Look at this. Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, and when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Look at verse 24. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd of our overseer of your souls. Wow. Wow. This is God's grace, isn't it? This is his grace, his love. We're here because God loves you. I hope you know that. You know that Jesus is badly in love with you? When you gave your heart to Jesus, you became his. And we are forever sealed in that grace. Can I get amen? Amen. God's concern about those who have gone astray, those who do not have a mind for God, he wants to give them every opportunity like us. Can I get amen? And God wants to use you and me to be the mouthpiece for him. Listen, how many people have you invited to church? Yeah, hey, I'll see you Sunday. Yeah, I'll be there. And then they never show up, right? So here's the key for you and I. The only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. Walk in the fruit of God. Walk in the ways of God. And they will see a walking Bible. And you will tell them, God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to deliver you. God will help you if you only repent and turn toward him. Can I get amen? Amen? So now, let's look at this. Jesus gave his church the authority to heal. What? Why do you think God has a wonderful ministry in San Diego County and throughout the nation? It's called the Healing Rooms. You guys remember back when we were in the synagogue on 2nd and Madrona, and we used the fellowship hall for the healing rooms? I remember God did some miraculous things. This one lady came in with stage 4 cancer. And she sat with us, and we did the whole healing room strategy. And God put that cancer into remission. And from what I understand, I don't think it ever came back. I think she's living in Hawaii now. And to us, we were like, wow, God. You know, God will do the foolish things of the world to confound the wise sometimes. Not that that was a foolish thing, but we were like in awe. Wow, God, you actually healed her. That's right. Do you know that God's in the healing business? Huh? Do you think he retired? He's on a vacation. Remember on Mount Carmel, the showdown with the prophets of Baal and Elijah? And God says, Elijah, build me an altar. And put gallons and gallons of water around it. And then pour water on the sacrifice. And just wait. And so then the prophets of Baal, the false prophets, they build their altar right next to it. And then Elijah was mocking them. Where's your God? Is he on a vacation? Oh. He's using the bathroom. We'll wait for him to come out. They waited. Then the prophets of Baal started cutting themselves. Because the whole thing was, whoever shoots fire down and eats up the sacrifice is the true God. So they were waiting, and Elijah kept mocking them. And so after a while, they knew that their false God was not going to answer. Elijah looked to heaven and said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show your mercy and your love and your grace and your authority. And fire fell from heaven. Bam! And it lapped up the whole offering, and all the water that was on there got consumed. And then Elijah took the sword to all the false prophets of Baal and did away with them. That was a story to let you know God will fight your battles. God will go before you. Can I get amen? God will smite your enemies. Hallelujah. Why? Because we serve the true and living God. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He is from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. And we need to pray right now as we speak. We need to pray for Israel right now because they're under besiege. They're under attack. And all the enemies are gathering, just like the book of Ezekiel said what would happen. Now Russia, now Iran, now Turkey is mounting up, and they're about ready to pounce on Israel. But I'm here to let you know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is going to show up in a mighty way, and he's going to destroy the enemies of Israel. He's going to destroy the enemies that we have. Can I get an amen? You see, if God cannot spare and watch over Israel, then he cannot watch over us. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. But the Bible tells me clear that God is going to fight for them. He's going to come and make himself known. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And the world will know who Jesus is. That's right. He's going to come and he's going to do away with all the enemies. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So once again, Jesus gave his church the authority, what? To heal. Can I get amen? Look what it says in Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As you go, Jesus told his disciples, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Can I get amen? And that is the motto of the healing rooms. Can I get amen? God has given us the authority to lay hands on the sick. Can I get amen? And watch God do the miraculous in our midst. Man, I'm telling you, we serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. And I truly believe those who are going through emotionally, physically, mentally, when we end this service, we're gonna lay hands on those, right, that are crying out to God to do something miraculous in their life. Can I get amen? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Now, look at this. In Mark 16, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Listen, they were walking in unbelief. Yeah, right, he was raised again. They thought that when they saw him crucified, it was case closed, story over. Look at this. Look at this. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Let me just say this. I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to be as polite as possible, as gentle as possible. But you and I, none of us have seen Jesus face to face. Can I get an amen? So what's the difference? We believe him by faith. We believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Can I get an amen? When God preached the word of God to us, we received it by faith. And then this is why God doesn't even waste time with those who say, I'll believe it when I see it. Have you seen folks like that? I'll believe it when I see it. Guess what? God wants nothing to do with that person. But those who says, I believe. Those are the ones that God allows to receive. Why? Because they come to him by faith and not by sight. That's right. We serve a God that's holy, righteous, and he is loving. He is merciful. I hope you know that. But there's a God with order. Aren't you so blessed that God's a God of order? Oh, yes, he is. He doesn't run his church like men. He's the head. Christ is the head. Can I get amen? Then the man, then the woman, and then the children. That's God's order. But there's some people that got it all flipped upside down and sideways, and that's on them. Praise God. Look at verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. What? In my name they shall what? Cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no by means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Let me just break this down a little bit. You see this right there where it says, And they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly. When God saves you, he gives you true discernment. So you'll know if you're in a church that's teaching false doctrine. Because those things won't hurt you. Because the truth will be in you. And you'll know the word. You'll say, oh, no, uh-uh. That's not of God. And it won't be deadly to you. Now, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, it was supernatural, man. I went 3 hours. Man, I'll tell you. But you know what else that also means? He'll give you a new tongue to praise him, to worship him. Because remember, before we got saved, we were nothing but curse bombs coming out. Bleepity bleepity bleep. We were the bleepity bleeps. Huh? Oh, come on. Were we? Oh, okay. It was just you and me, sister, huh? We were the only bleepity bleeps. Oh, come on. God gave us a new tongue. A tongue to glorify him and to magnify him and to lift him up and to say, praise the Lord. A tongue to pray for one another. A tongue to lift up one another. A tongue to lay hands on the sick and watch God heal them. Can I get an amen? God wants to do those mighty works in the midst of his people to those who will believe. But there's some people, I don't know. Maybe. I doubt it. You know who Glum is? Do you know who Mr. Glum is? Okay, I'm going to take you back, and then we'll move on. You ever seen the old cartoon, Gulliver's Travels? And he was the giant that ended up in Lilliput, and there was tiny little people, and they tied him up, right? But one of those little people, his name was Mr. Glum. And Mr. Glum would always say, it'll never work. You'll never make it. I don't think so. No, that's impossible. We're going to die. So the next time you come across one of those characters, remember, you're Mr. Glum. Nothing's changed. Amen. Nothing's changed. Look at this. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. So remember, he didn't just vanish. He was lifted, and they watched him like Donald Perkins taught. When God comes from the church, we're going to float up and be received up to heaven just like that. Look at this. He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of what? Signs. And you can put on after signs, miracles. Because that's what God is all about. Did you know the greatest miracle? What's the greatest miracle to you? The greatest miracle is we who were dead in transgressions and in sins that God raised up from the dead. That is the greatest miracle, right? Yes, we're going to marvel at the deaf, the deaf people speaking and the blind seeing and the lame walking. But the greatest miracle is you and I who were dead in transgressions and sins that God had mercy and he raised us up from a dead state. Look at yourself that we were once like in a coffin. And then God came and bam, quickened us. He opened up our eyes to see, our ears to hear. And to me, I look at it like this. As soon as he quickened me and I opened up my eyes, I saw the cross and I ran to it. I saw Jesus for the first time and I came and embraced it because I never saw him before. In my whole 30 years of being an unbeliever, I never saw the cross. I would mock and ridicule and slander children of God. Oh yeah, in high school, man, you could tell who the Christians were. I used to take my comb and I used to flip them in the back of the ear. That's how cruel I was. I did things like that. I did it to them. And God got a hold of my heart. Can I get amen? Man, he gave me a heart. Say, oh God, forgive me for all that mess. Because God is merciful. If you come to him with a repentant heart, he will forgive everything and cast all your sins from the east to the west. And he remembers them no more. Aren't you so blessed to know that no matter what you did in the past, he remembers it no more. Praise God. Praise God. Look at this, saints of God. Look at this. Jesus ultimately came to destroy the works of the devil. Can I get amen? Amen. He came to destroy old Slewfoot and all his works. That's right. You see, the devil doesn't play fair. I hope you know that. And don't try to get buddy-buddy with him. Oh, that's right. Yeah. He will catch you off guard and pull you in and draw you into sin. His whole agenda is to deceive you. So next time you go into that club, shaking it with the best of them. Here comes that drink. Here comes Mr. Wonderful. Hi. That's a setup from the get-up. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. Listen, if you're patiently waiting for someone, wait on God. That's right. Amen. And always remember this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Let that man that God is sending, he will come. And you'll know because he will love God first. That's right. Because if he loves God first, he'll know how to love you. But if he's all about the world, he's all about himself, that should be a red flag. Can I get amen? Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Look at this right here, saints of God. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is what? Righteous. Can I get amen? Look at verse 8. He who sins is of the devil. What? For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not... Oh, man, this is a revelation in itself. Look at this. I talked about this with the precious saint this morning, about being born again. If you're not born again, hallelujah, you're not going to see this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been what? Born of God. Meaning, if you're born again, the blood of Jesus is covering you. Can I get an amen? He has sealed you until the day of redemption. That's right. Your sins, past, present, and future, now has been accounted for on the cross. Can I get an amen? That's right. Because a born-again child, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, is now heaven bound. Can I get amen? And you are secure in Christ. How many want that assurance that you're secure in Christ? Okay, just me. I'll take it. But see, it's the unbeliever that don't know God. They're doing the work of the devil. And there's no mercy for them once their life ends. So pray for them. Right? Pray for them that God will have mercy, that there'll be a change, that there will be a heart of repentance, that they will cry out. And listen, when they come running into the house of God, please don't do this. I told you you would. Yeah, man, God got a hold of you, didn't he? No, you come alongside. Man, I praise God with you. Praise God. He's merciful. He's loving. Aren't you so blessed? Now, we're coming in for a close. But these are common blockages to healing. Look at this. There's common blockages to healing. Did you know that your arteries can be blocked up if you eat the wrong foods? Right? We all know that, right? Well, there's also common blockages of healing. Number one, you don't believe. Lack of faith. You doubt. Listen, don't doubt God's word. You can doubt what maybe someone is saying. You can even doubt a pastor, an apostle. You can doubt an evangelist. Okay, that's okay. But don't doubt what's written in the word. If it's written in the Word, don't doubt that, because God's Word is already forever settled in heaven. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Look at this. In Mark 6:4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, look at this. This is right in the Word. Now, he could do no mighty work there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. You see, in his own hometown, he could do very little. Why? You know what the word was? We know who he is. Who does he think he is? He's the son of Joseph. He's just a carpenter boy. They didn't know, hallelujah, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And he was conceived in no sin. He was the sinless Savior. They didn't have a clue. So that whole hood that he was raised in, I don't know, was it National City? Where was that hood at? He was raised somewhere where they was walking in unbelief. Oh, we know who he is. And sometimes you get that. But here's the key for you and I. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, what? Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I get an amen? Listen, sometimes you got to press through. You got to press through whatever block there may be. You may be emotionally distraught. You may be physically distraught. You may say, man, my issue is just too overwhelming. No, this is where you have to press through, hallelujah, and receive your blessing from God. Can I get amen? That's right. You press through and say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God's going to heal this. I believe God's going to restore this. I believe God's going to lift this. I believe God's going to save this. I believe God is going to set us free. Can I get amen? For whom the Son says free is free indeed. We have to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. When Yolanda and I went to Israel, we saw what a mustard seed was for the first time. It's so small, it was smaller than a pulga. Okay, a flea. And that little mustard seed, our tour guide showed us. He goes, look at that tree over there. It grew from this little tiny seed. And it was a big tree. We're going, what? That little tiny seed and that big old tree? Jesus is saying, have the faith the size of that little mustard seed, and you'll be able to move a mountain. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Yeah. Aren't you so blessed? And here's another possible blockage that you can resolve this morning. Unforgiveness in the heart. What? Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor, what this person did to me. You don't know what this person said to me. You don't know. You just don't know. I know I don't know, and I don't care to know. But God knows. That's all that matters, right? God knows your situation, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. You see, if there's somebody who you are holding grudges, or whenever you think of them, then it's time to give those feelings to the Lord and leave them there. Can I get amen? It's time to give them to God. Just leave them there. And say, nah, I can't deal with this, God. I'm going to give them to you. Yeah. If somebody's wronged you and you still think about their wrong whenever you think of them, then it's time to give those feelings to the Lord. Can I get amen? Release the hurt from your heart that they have caused. And a lot of times, yeah, it was the other party, but a lot of times it was you too. Sometimes we cause the own grief to happen, right? This is where you got to give it to God. Say, God, I was wrong. And maybe that person already slipped into eternity and you couldn't go to that person and ask for forgiveness. You go to God. Say, God, forgive me. And he will forgive you because he's a forgiving God. That's right. Look at what Jesus said. He said it clearly. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. Another blockage, this is the last blockage, and then we'll close, is this right up here. Unconfessed sin. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to help someone get past some of the hurts, some of the sorrows, some of the emotional, physical, mental things that have happened in your past. And God wants to do a fresh start today. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, if we don't confess our sins, they can remain lingering throughout our lifetime. And we don't want that to happen. You don't want that to happen. How many of you want to live a prosperous and a wonderful life? Okay, amen. Amen. Then you know what? Confess those things to God. Give it to God. In other words, saints, Him forgiving their sins opened them up to be healed as well. So when you start releasing that, when you start releasing the healing, praise God, then He starts to restore you. He starts to do these marvelous things in your life that you thought He would ever do for you. But give those things to God. Don't hold no grudges. Forgive them. Just let it go. Some of you are going through some horrendous trials right now. Let it go. Give it to God. Watch God. Watch God do the miracle. You want miracles in your life? You want God to do these great and mighty things? Then you know what? Confess whatever's hidden in your heart. The anger, the hurt, the burden, the fear. One of the things is fear. Give it all to God and watch God, hallelujah, do a mighty thing. This is why God's word says this. Look at that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and what? Just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? Some. Oh, that's right. I wrote that down wrong. It's all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. So, I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now. Sister Daria, I want you to come up. You got your anointing oil with you? You have oil with you? Or does anyone have oil for her? I'm going to close up with this scripture right here. Look at this. I want you to look at this. Is anyone among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing psalms. We're going to sing some songs right now. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at this. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will what? Raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will what? Be forgiven. So the Bible says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Why? Because the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Isn't that a blessing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Listen, my friends, those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook, we're just going to pray for you right now. That God will strengthen you. And then we're going to sign off. And then those that are here, we're going to lay hands on the sick. And we're going to watch God do the miraculous. And so if you're watching for the first time, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise right now. Glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.